Tom, welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church, Seekers Sunday School class. Are you praying the Bible every day? Now, Brother Jerry already took us through our memory verse, but the preacher taught us this week that we could pray the Bible. Not just read it, but pray through it. Some of it's a prayer anyway. And I like it the way he broke it down for every word. The preacher was liking that. And I really like the with, that he's with us. That he's with us right now. Remind me what book we're in. 2 Corinthians. What's going on? Who wrote it? Let me ask you that. God. God wrote it down up there. Who wrote it down here? Paul? Okay.
When I came into this world, about my birth at all. But on my knees one night in prayer, I never will regret it.
Right.
I have a birth I can't remember, and one I can't forget. Oh, to the world it made no difference. Some even drowned. The angels rejoicing when my name was written down, unworthy of His mercy, still I pay my debt. I have a birth I can't remember, and one I can't forget. Well, it never
Amen. Thank you, Sunday School Trio. Brother Andrew, would you pray for us, please? Thank you, Brother Andrew. We're in 2 Corinthians 6, and we've been looking at, last week we looked at some paradoxes in the Word of God. And these, we decided, are apparent contradictions. On the surface, they appear to be a contradiction, but they're not really. And we looked up several of them, looked up a lot of verses, and I'm just going to mention a few this morning that we didn't get to. We won't look up all the verses on them. But we talked about things like, He prayed to the Father, but He hears our prayers.
Yeah.
And we talked about, He dries our tears, but guess what? He weeped over my sin and over my soul. And He's able to redeem the world, but He was sold or redeemed for 30 pieces of silver. He's the good shepherd, but He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Apparent contradictions is what we're talking about. Paradoxes. He raises the dead, but guess what? He was put to death. He was put to death. A few more I found. Us. We're defamed, but not defiled. And the world looks at us, and sometimes they're not very wrong, as ignoramuses. I can raise my hand. But you know what? We're not ignored. We're bothering them. They look at us as dying. We're dying, but we're not dead. We're beaten, but not buried. We're sorrowful, but not sad. And we're beggarly, but we're not bankrupt. And we're penniless, but we're not poor. We're not poor. We've got what's important. So let's go back to the chapter. Now, let's review. Let's go back to verse 11. 2 Corinthians 6:11. Look at some new stuff here today. And starts off here, the Father's talking, really. He said the God's talking. And he says, "Oh, you Corinthians." And I was glad to learn, be reminded again this week, that I'm a Corinthian. And I'm wicked, just like it's exactly like they are or were. And we're all wicked. And the ground's level at the foot of the cross. So, you Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you and our heart is enlarged. You're not straightened in us, but you're straightened in your own bowels. Not now, for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. So here's a loving father addressing his children. Wasn't that good about the family this week? I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. For 21 years, I wasn't. I was on the outside looking in. And I'd much rather be on the inside looking out. Now, here's the part that's not very fun. We've been having fun talking about being an ambassador and all these different things. But now here is a prohibition. No one likes to be told no. Husbands, you don't like to be told no. Wives, you don't like to be told no. Employees, they don't like to be told no. Church members don't like to be told no. But here's the hard part. And Brother Andrew prayed it. He said, "Thank you, Lord, there's a difference now." And we're going to be talking about the difference. The difference. Starts in verse 14. "Be ye..." Now, the preacher's right. And again, Brother Andrew prayed it. We don't care if you got long hair or short hair today. It doesn't matter to us. We don't care if you got tattoos or not. We don't hate anybody. Don't hate anybody. But this is going to be talking about people. We're supposed to love people and use things. But this is talking about people. And we'll notice down through here, "And ye... be ye not equally yoked with unbelievers." See, we're not the same. Again, I hate to talk about Brother Andrew so much, but he's been taking a class or working for some people, been trying to teach him that everybody's the same. I come this morning to tell you we're not. I don't believe that for a second. Look, a couple of my heroes, George Washington Carver and Booker T. Washington are two of my heroes. But we're not the same. They're way up here. They invented peanut butter. I wish I'd have done it. I wish I'd have went down on my record that I invented peanut butter. But I'm not wrapped that tight. It says here, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Now, I've written down on the paper two or three categories, but I don't want to do that because there's no categories here. I'm afraid I left one out. Yeah. It just says, "Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers." Forget about the category. It doesn't matter when or where. That's what the Bible says. Those other things, something Rick come up with. But anyway, this is a New Testament command. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." By the way, that's people. "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" That's a question. I'll go ahead and tell you right now, there's none. There's none. "And what communion hath light with darkness?" The answer is none. There's no communion. Number 15, "What concord hath Christ with Belial?" That's another name for the devil or enemy. And let me just go ahead and tell you, there's none. There's no concord between them. "What part hath he," that's a person, by the way, "that believeth with an infidel," and that's a person, by the way. An infidel is an unbeliever. Guess what? There's no part. There's no part. 16, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" There's none. Not supposed to bring any idols in the temple. And we're going to see here in just a second that now in the New Testament, we're the temple of God. He moved inside. That communion of the Holy Ghost we was learning about. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" Well, there's none. For ye, that's people, by the way, are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, that's people, and walk in them, that's people. And I will be their God, that's people. And they people shall be my people.
Right.
17. Wherefore come out from among them. Now, like I said, we don't hate anybody, but there's people I don't need to go trout fishing with and deer hunting with and spend most of my time with. Wherefore come out from among them. Any questions on that part? And be ye separate, Brother Andrew, different. Be ye different is what it's talking about. That's what you prayed, and that's what it says right here. Wherefore come out from among certain people, them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. That's what God said. And touch not the unclean thing. We are going to talk about things maybe a little bit, but mostly down through here, the gist of it is people. There's certain people that ought not to be my best friends. I should be friendly to everyone. But I don't need to go camping for a whole week with bank robbers. Guess what? When I come back, I'm going to be wanting to be a bank robber. I'm going to drive the getaway car or something. And guess what? The loving Father says, and I will receive you. It's what He says. There's some things for Rick to do, then there's some things he's going to do. Verse 18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. Pretty good deal I got in on. Pretty good horse trade I made when I took off the old coat and put on the new. I got in on a good deal. Now, we're going to delve over. I know I'm getting ahead of myself in chapter 7, verse 1, but it's connected. Having therefore these promises. That's what he's been talking about. The verses I just now read. Those promises. Right there. Having these promises, dearly beloved, that's people, by the way. Let us cleanse ourselves. There's something he's wanting me to do.
Amen.
To be separate and to be different. Let us cleanse ourselves. Now, he cleansed me. God's in the cleaning up business. It's not true that cleanliness is next to godliness. That's a wives' tale. It's not in the Bible. Cleanliness is godliness. God cleaned me up. And He's in the business of cleaning us up. He cleaned you up. He cleaned you up. Let us cleanse ourselves now from all. Oh, shoot. Why did it have to say all? From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God's still interested in us being holy. That's not a dirty word.
Amen.
It's not a dirty word. Let's look at some verses. Romans 16, 17, and 18. The Bible fits together and agrees together. Romans 16, 17, and 18. Now I beseech you, that's people. Brother, that's people, that's you. Now I beseech you, brother, I beg you, brother, mark them, that's people. That cause divisions and offenses contrary to the Bible, contrary to the doctrine. See, there's only one doctrine, and that's the Bible. Which ye have learned, and avoid them. Like I said, that's not who I'm going camping with this week. I'm going to pick one of you all. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. This is New Testament command now. There's no fellowship between light and dark, Christ and Satan, God and idols, righteousness and unrighteousness. The reward is, guess what? We get adopted. We're in that family. He was talking about the family of God. And God will live in them and walk in them and be a father to them. That's people. We win others best by obedience and honey. You catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. Let's look at it. Acts 14, 17. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good. The Lord Jesus went about doing good. I'm supposed to be like him. and give us rain from heaven. We say amen right there.
Amen.
My weather channel started saying water channel.
Yes.
That's another sign God's being good to us. It won't be long, we'll be whining for some water. It won't be very long, a month or less. And gave us rain from heaven. All good things come from heaven. Water comes from heaven. Fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. I get an amen right there. And then Romans 2:4. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? How did you get in? I'm going to go ahead and tell you how you got in. Somebody was good to you. There was a grandma praying for you. Somebody brought you the Bible, opened up the Bible and showed you. Somebody was good to you somewhere. That's how you got in. That's how I got in. That's how I got in. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? I read about a Christian girl that went to a dance. She tried to witness to those there, tell them about the Lord. And they knew more than she knew. They said, "Why are you here?" Deuteronomy 22:10. You go ahead and try it if you want to. It's America. Thou shalt not plow with the ox and ass together. The Lord's not interested. He's interested in me being separate, not yoking up. I'm not interested in getting together with everybody. The world always tries to get the church to drop their colors. And when they do, the world despises them. Yeah, let me read it again. That's a real good quote. The world always tries to get the church to drop their colors. And when they do, the world despises them for it. See, I knew it wasn't real anyway. How about this? When persecution does not work, the enemy supports the church to mix and unite with it.
Right.
That started way back in 300. Anyway, let me read that again. When persecution does not work, the enemy supports the church to mix and unite with it. And then what happens is the world becomes churchy and the church becomes worldly. But the Spirit always points to purity, and purity is power. Purity is power. The Lord's interested in me living a separated life, a clean life. Clean life. How about this? You can't run with a skunk and smell like a rose. If you run with the wrong crowd, it always shows. You can't fool anybody, 'cause everyone knows. You can't run with a skunk and smell like a rose. Somebody's been running with one out on the parking lot. I had to walk through it to get here. Are preachers ministers of the word or ministers of the restaurant? How about us? Which one are we? Saved or lost? Is it a Bible or a book? Doctrine. Let's check out doctrine. Deuteronomy 6:14. Ye shall not go after other little g gods of the little g gods of the people. See, that's the problem when Solomon married lost women, had lots of lost wives, then he went after their gods, their little g gods. So he should have been separate and not been yoked. Of the gods of the people which are round about you. Hey, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Chapter 7, starting in verse 1. When the big L, big O, big R, big D, thy God, shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites. See, I don't need to run around the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them, that's people, before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Now, you don't need to go kill somebody today. This was a command to Israel. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Sound to me like the Lord's serious about it, though. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Any questions on that? Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following thee, that they may serve other little g gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. We're talking about moral or immoral. How about dedicated or devoted? Hot or missed? In or out? Up or down? Clean or dirty? Lazy or a worker? A T-R-A-D-E-R or T-R-A-I-T-O-R? I say I'm a horse trader, but am I a trader? Go to church? Which church? Faithful? Thief or honest? Do I emphasize the major or the minor? Separated or compromised? The Bible says do not know them. Who are we following? Who are you following? Everybody follows someone. Who are you following today? Who are you following? Is it a bank robber? Now, I asked for that song this morning, and I thank you for it. That's great. And here's why. I just run across this one thought. It's just for this one thought right here. For 9 months, each of us was in the womb. You're not in the womb any longer. You're in the world. The natural birth brought an enormous change. Nobody in his right mind wants to go back. It was a radical change. We have no memory. There's a birth I can't remember, but one I can't forget. We have no memory of that first life at all. The second birth was a radical change, like Brother Andrew prayed, in our lives completely. He said now there's a difference. It's absolutely and once and for all. The Holy Ghost moves in. Now you have communion. Now you're in the family of God. There's no reason to go back. There's no reason to go back. No one, there's... Yeah, I can almost... I don't want to go back to the world. There's nothing in the world for me. Why would I go back? Why would I go back? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease when others fought to win the prize and sail through stormy seas? See, we're in enemy territory. It's crazy for me to think I'm going to get out of here unscathed. We're in a war. We're in a war. We're in enemy territory. It's almost like being above the Mason-Dixon line. There's believers right now in China, India, and Africa that's being beaten and killed and bullied and brainwashed. Right now. Right now. Here's a notable nobody. Sir Winston Churchill knew nothing of the Bible prophecy. This is a piece out of history here. Someone suggested that he spend 1 hour with the world's famous nobody, an ignoramus missionary, a Bible teacher, Harold St. John. After 1 hour, Churchill canceled all of his appointments for that day and spent the whole day with him. He said, "Sir, I'd give half the world for your knowledge of the Bible." He said, "I gave it all. I gave up the whole world to get it, the whole world." Sir William Booth, talking to Cecil Rhodes, I'm assuming he's a rich man, a millionaire, asked him, was he happy? Rhodes said, "Are you kidding? Are you kidding? He wasn't in the family. Why would he be happy?" There's a call to separation. One's clean, the other's unclean. Don't need to be unequally yoked in marriage, business, or worship, or anything else. It just said don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Clubs, societies, lodges, fraternities, groups. Why? Because we'll pull in the opposite direction like that ass and ox. We won't work together. We're the opposites. We're the opposites. You'll pick up bad behavior and habits if you do that. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, and he sat on the board of elders on that filthy city. And he was there to make money. That's why he went. He actually became a member of the legislature and paid to uphold the rights of the gay community. That's what he ended up doing. Need to be separated if I want my children to get in. If I want my family and friends and neighbors to get in. They got some things on the back of those log trucks called standards. Right. It's keep the load on till you get to the meal. You don't have to have them. You can try without them. But are you wanting your kids to get in? You wanting your grandkids to get in? That's what we're talking about. Yeah, you got eternal security. I know that. It's a sad day when Elimelech moved to Moab and his sons married Moabites.
Right. Yeah.
It's a sad day when Esau married a pair of pagan women.
Right.
While we're right there on two of them, have I told you lately who the saddest man in the Bible was? Don't look at me as a Solomon. He had 700 mother-in-laws. It's a sad day when Jehoshaphat married off his son to Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. It's a sad day when Samson married a Philistine woman. It's a sad day when Solomon married pagan daughters of the surrounding kings. In each case, a lot of human reasoning went on. I think I can change them.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and marry them and then I'll change them.
Yeah.
In the heat of passion, under the spell of powerful infatuation,
yeah,
under the pressures of the circumstances, a prospect for a quick promotion or financial reward, we explain away and ignore clear-cut Scripture. Let's look at it in Ezra 9. Now, when these things were done, the princess came to me saying, "The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites and Hittites and Perizzites and Jebusites and Ammonites and Moabites, the Egyptians and Amorites." See, the Bible says, "Broad's the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that's on it." There's many I need to be separated from. And there's the road that leads to heaven, and few there be that's on it. That's why I can hug you and say, "Hi, brother. How you doing? Hi, sister. How are you doing?" There's not very many of us here, see. "For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves. But the people of other lands, yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in their trespass." When I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off my hair of my head and of my beard and sat down astonished. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice I arose from my heaviness. Having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God and said, O my God, I'm ashamed and blush to lift up my face to Thee, my God. For our iniquities have increased over our heads and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens." That's what Ezra said. There's a principle that salvation from sin is followed by separation from the world. It's all through Scripture, and Brother Andrew prayed it before we started this very lesson. Let me say it again. There's a principle that salvation from sin is to be followed by separation from the world. See, God didn't save me in my sin to stay in it and wallow in it. The first move of the Spirit of God in Genesis chapter 1 was to brood over a dark lost world. The second command was for light to shine. And the third command was to separate the waters from below from the waters above. God separated. The sun shining on the water separates some of it and changes its behavior and seats it in heavenly places. We call it evaporation. The waters below remain unchanged, unseparated, and they follow the natural law and go down, down, down. When God called Abram, He revealed Himself first, and the second thing He did was demanded separation. That'd be your first Hebrew right there. Lot ignored it, and he lost his family and fortune. I'm not talking about heaven and hell this morning. I'm talking about your family and friends. If I did drive the getaway car, let's say I did go camping with bank robbers and I drove the getaway car, you going to listen to me this morning? No. There'll be no influence. No influence. No influence. When God redeemed Israel, first He put them under the blood. Second, He separated from Egypt. He separated them from Egypt. Put the sea between them. The Red Sea was to be a permanent barrier between the new walk of faith and the old life of bondage. It's a sad day for Israel when Joshua failed to exterminate all the Canaanites and entered into an agreement with the Gibeonites. Sad day for us when we forget that saved people are number one, separated, and number two, sanctified. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, I told you this is the hard part. It's not like ambassadors. We better quit right there. Time is against us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for these brothers and sisters that love You. Thank You for writing it down. You're so good to us. We praise You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.